Jesus uttered while he was on earth, and he said them just before he went back to heaven. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, that's commonly called the Great Commission. It's not giving us permission to take the gospel to the world. It's giving us a commission to take the gospel to the world. And there is a difference. One would be optional. The other is mandatory. Jesus said, "Go into all the world." That is an imperative. That is a command. Go into all the world. Now that is a perpetual imperative, which means that it resets with every generation. Because this orbiting sphere we call Earth is the abode of humans for only a vapor existence. We enter the stage of life at birth and we exit it at death. And there is but a small span between the two. You know, some of you are old enough to remember VCR tapes. Anybody? Do anybody remember going to a movie gallery or renting? Okay, they had that little sticker on there that said, "Please be kind, rewind." Do you remember that? Or sometimes they had, "Don't be fined, rewind," right? So the last thing before you went back to the store to turn in what you had rented was you put it in the machine to rewind it. And you know what happens when you rewind it? It starts off slow. And then it gets faster. And then at the end, it's going very fast. That's the way life is. It starts off slow, and it seems like it's 2 years between every Christmas. But then you get to be a parent and it's only 6 months between Christmases. I haven't even paid off the last one. And now I got a new one, right? And then we get toward the end of life and we think, it's just so short. I wish I had more time. There's so much more that I want to accomplish. So those 29,000 days that we have that are rapidly passing with each sunrise and sunset, we've got to make the best use of those days. And the best use of those days is to use them for something that will matter in eternity. You know, we make money, we spend money, we have pleasure, we move on to the next escapism or the next event. But what we do for God will last beyond this world. We are laying up treasures in heaven that we will one day inherit. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. And you and I can influence eternity and can even alter eternity for some person. I want you to think about the word as we go into this short study. Gospel. You know, the world and preach the gospel. That word means good news. We don't have a message of condemnation to take to the world. We have a message of salvation. We have a message that is good news to the human spirit. Because humanity is weighed down by sin. Humanity is filled with guilt. Humanity does not know the way it should go. But because we know the one who made us and the one who would judge us, the one who died for us, we can take the light of the gospel into the darkness of the world. That is a privilege, it's an honor, it's also a responsibility. The word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. Well, that word gospel begins with the word that we began with tonight, go, G-O. You could say that the last two letters, E-L, stand for everlasting life. That's the purpose of the gospel, to give us everlasting life. But what about those two middle letters? S-P. Go, everlasting life. What's between the? How about this? Some person. Some person led you to know Jesus Christ and the gospel. It might have been your parents. It might have been your friend. It might have been a stranger that knocked on your door or gave you a tract in a restaurant. It might have been someone that you watched on television or listened to on the radio, but some person was the means of getting the gospel to you. Now we have to pay it forward. We could never pay them back, but they don't even want to be paid back. That's what God will do for them. But we pay it forward by taking the same gospel that we received and getting it to someone else. Because we could be some person standing between a soul and eternity. We can be some person who lights the candle of knowledge in a human heart that graduates to the fire we've been talking about all this week, that will burn all the way unto the judgment day, where they will hear those words that they would have never heard if they had not met us. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Can you imagine being the person in line behind the person that you led to Christ with the opportunities and the abilities that He gave you, and to hear someone that you met that was not ready for the judgment because you took time and you loved them and you taught them, they hear those words and you overhear those words, well done. And you can you see the face of that friend, that loved one? They just light up. Might there even be a cheer? Yes. And we get to share that joy. We get to share in that joy. All right. That's what we're talking about in this early lesson every night, is evangelism, building up the church, saving souls. For if we can get that right, then the church will grow. If we get that right, then the enthusiasm in the membership will go up. But without evangelism, we can never be what God wants us to be. We can never be as zealous as we should be, because we're just going to be dwindling. And we're not going to have any babies around. I'm talking about baby Christians that are new and excited, and their enthusiasm just spreads to all of us. So tonight we're going to talk about the five frequencies of evangelism. Five frequencies. We're trying to make this as practical as possible. There are five frequencies on your calendar. There are days, weeks, months, quarters, and a year. Five frequencies. So, now, this might not be for everybody, but you say, I really want to make a difference in this world. I really want to be used by God for the most good that I can do. Well, here's how to do it. You know, it's great to be motivated for a little while with a gospel meeting and an occasion that brings us all together. That's why we're here. But if it just fades about as fast as it started, it hasn't really benefited us. If 2 weeks from now we've settled back to the same level we were 2 weeks ago, then the gospel meeting helped maybe, but it didn't make a real lasting difference. So this has to be a launching pad towards something higher and better for it to really make a difference in the church and in our personal lives. So this is how we carry it. We bridge this week to next year. This is the bridge. So we make a resolution. We make a decision during a gospel meeting, during a sermon, after a prayer, and we say, I'm going to do something. Well, what is it? Something fuzzy is not a good goal. I want to be more evangelistic. Terrible goal. You say, preacher, that sounds like a good goal. No, that's a terrible goal. I want to be more evangelistic. How will you know if you accomplish that? How do you measure that? No. A good goal is measurable and it has accountability built into it. So here we go. Five things in the balance of our time. What can I do every day that will save souls? What can I do every week that will save souls? What can I do every month that will save souls? What can I do every quarter that will save souls? And what can I do every year that will save souls? See, there are five tangible things that we will assign to each of those frequencies. First frequency, every day, do two things. Every day, do two things. They're not hard things, but it takes discipline to do them. It takes intent. The two things we've already said in this series. Invite somebody to come with you next Sunday every day. That's John 1:46. Come and see. Somebody criticizes the church. What's the best answer for that? Maybe it's the same thing that John 1:46 says. Come and see for yourself. Come and see. You will love the church. You will love the people I worship with. You will love the simplicity of the service. You will love the straight from the Scriptures preaching. You will love the church. Come and see. So invite, number one. Second thing to do every day is pray. So who is there in my circle that I really want to go to heaven with me? Well, go home tonight and make that list. Maybe it will have, set a goal for 10 names. 10's a good number. It could be family members, neighbors, co-workers, someone that's related to someone in the congregation. There are a lot of different areas or pools in which to fish, but think of 10 names. And you can even ask someone else. If you've got 8 and you say, I want two more. Well, ask a friend. Do you know anybody that you'd like for me to pray for? And I guarantee you there's not a person in this room wouldn't have somebody they want you to pray for. Right? So you can put them on the list. So every day invite, every day pray. Everybody can do that. Now, invitations and prayers are difference makers. They keep evangelism on our minds every day. Number two, second frequency, what can I do every week to save souls? Here's the goal. Have a Bible study with a lost person once a week. Now, let's say how to do this. You can do it different ways, but perhaps the best way to do it is to say every Tuesday night, or you pick a different night. Doesn't matter. That's my Bible study night. And so I have an ongoing Bible study in my home, or I will go to the person's home, or I can meet at the church building. I'll go to a coffee shop, whatever works better for the person. And I'm going, now sometimes they work at night, so you have to rearrange that. One way to do that is to meet at the church building an hour before Wednesday night Bible class. That's an excellent way to do it because then they probably will stay for the class and get two studies every week. That's beneficial. They'll also meet all the congregation. Also beneficial. That also gives you a better use of your time, perhaps, if you're working and busy with a schedule. You know, you get ready one time, you were going to come to the building anyway. So the only thing you added was you got here a little earlier. And so you have a Bible study at the church building, or you could do it Sunday afternoon before the afternoon service. Same thing works there. So have a Bible, set up a Bible study every week. Once a week, have a Bible study. You say, well, how do you do Bible studies? Well, there are different ways to do it. Victor can invite you to sit in on one of his and you just watch, or your preacher, wherever you are. And before long, you say, I could do that. You know, it's not that hard because there are studies that are already written and you just answer the questions like Open Bible Study or Back to the Bible or Jewel Miller. Used to be film strips. Now they're digitized. You just watch them on your television or your computer. You sit and you let the film, the video do the teaching. And then at the end you say, what did you think about that? Do you have any questions? That's easy. Anybody can do it. And then you say, well, next week we'll do the second study. Or sometimes, like we had a baptism today with one of my former students. He met this guy Sunday, came to church services, took him out to lunch, had a Bible study, let's see, Monday, Tuesday, baptized today on the third study. Now, there are people out there that are ready to learn the gospel. Now you say, well, how can I get people to just ask? This same young man, his name is Zach. He went to a yard sale one Saturday about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he texted me. He said, "I just got a Bible study." I said, "Really? How that?" He said, "All you got to do is ask." He met a stranger at a yard sale and got about, yeah, all you got to do is ask. Well, maybe I should say pray and ask, right? Pray. Well, here's another way. I have a friend who preached for a large congregation. I started to tell you the state, but it doesn't matter. And he had been there a long time. They had 10 years. They had baptized 200 people in 10 years at that congregation. He's very evangelistic. There's another congregation wanting him to come and be their preacher. He said, "I like it where I am. Things are going well here." And they just kept after him. They said, "We really want you to come be our preacher." He said, "Well, I like where this is going." They said, "Well, what? Would you just come and talk to us?" So he talked to him. Long story short, he said, "I will come be your preacher if all the elders around the table," and there was like five elders, "if you will agree to have a Bible study with a lost person every week once I get here. And if you don't have a Bible study for a given week, that you will get up in front of the congregation and say, 'I don't have a Bible study this week, but I really want to have a Bible study. Does anybody have someone that I could study with?'" They said, "We'll do it." He moved there. I've preached in that congregation since then. Now has 600 members. We can do it. You see, we can do it. We can use excuses. Door knocking doesn't work. We can say, well, people aren't interested. We can say the heyday of the church is past. Lie, lie, lie. Those things aren't true. What's happening is we quit going. We quit asking. We quit praying. Now, I'm being, maybe that's unfair. Maybe that's too strong. But do you see the point? I don't think it's too far off the mark, at least in some places. Okay, you know, we just have to be real sometimes. We just have to say it the way it is to change things. I don't know how it is here, but I know churches like that. We need to do what we're talking about. Number three, aim to have a baptism every month. That's the right frequency, because if you have a Bible study every week, you will have an average of a baptism every month. Here's why. Because open Bible study has three lessons. You typically study one lesson a week. So you will get to the third lesson, which includes baptism, the third week. And if they're going to obey the gospel, that's usually when they do it. Back to the Bible has three or four lessons. I use OBS, but a lot of people use Back to the Bible. And that has three or four lessons, same frequency. You do that once a week, it makes sense. You say, but not everybody obeys the gospel when you teach, and that's true. But a lot of times you have a study with a couple, like husband and wife. And if one obeys, usually they both become Christians. So even if you miss out on every other one, and it won't be nearly that high of a strikeout percentage in Bible studies. If you go through three lessons, it's going to be up toward 80% generally that will obey the gospel. Now, some will drop out before that, but if they go through three lessons. So that will be a baptism every month. Now, imagine, let's look, I don't know how many you could fit in this building, but let's say that you decide, I'm going to take this on. I'm going to do this. And you're able to do what we're talking about here. You and your spouse, your family, you by yourself. Imagine, can you fit 12 people on one of these pews? Well, not 12 people as big as me, but maybe 12 regular people, right? Can you imagine having to squish in? Is that a word you use in Florida? Squish. Sometimes I speak Alabama and people look at me like, I don't know what you're saying. Can you imagine having to squeeze in on your pew because it's so crowded? with people that are going to heaven this time next year? 12 people. Now, I'm just talking about one person. What if 5 of us do it? That's 5 rows, 6 rows. You see? That's exciting. What about the quarterly? Quarterly, have a meal at your house for the new converts. Because we don't want to bring them into the church only to stray away out the back door, you know? So we want to keep them connected. And we want to continue to answer questions they have. And, you know, they were going to have some challenges to their faith. Maybe their family or friends might not be encouraging to them. So we're going to need to help them, encourage them. And they also need to meet the other members, new members of the congregation, to have friends. And you will invite probably your elders, preachers, some other friends of yours over and help me with this meal and learn, you know, visit with these new members. Every quarter, that'd be 4 times a year. Now, I guarantee you that if that's a problem for your budget or your house isn't large enough for that, there are workarounds. There are some people here would slip you a $100 bill in a heartbeat to say, let me help with that. Let me buy the groceries this time. Or they will say, why don't you come over and use my house? People love to help. People love the church. They will do it. Or you can have it in a fellowship hall. It's better to do it in a house, but you can do it in a fellowship hall. Number 5, every year. Every year, go on a mission trip. I mentioned this last night at the end, and I won't belabor this because I have something else to say. But I will say that we've got to get the gospel to the whole world. I have heard preachers say, and I don't know if I agree with this yet or not, but I'm thinking about it. Nobody deserves to hear the gospel twice before everybody hears the gospel once. Well, I don't think it's quite that simple. But I do appreciate the sentiment that we need to get the gospel to everybody at least once. So the people that live around us, that live in America, that, you know, there's a lot of access to the gospel with the television, internet, direct mail, church members, church down the street, radio, television. There's a lot of access. There are places in the world that I could carry the gospel that haven't yet gotten it. So I would like to contribute to world evangelism also. Now, I'll just say this. I wanted to take you through, and I think I can do it in 2 minutes. I probably can't, but I wanted to take you, that's what individuals do, 5 frequencies. Churches have the same 5 frequencies. What do we do as a church to encourage evangelism every week, have members praying about the known Bible studies going on? So you have a Bible study. Don't you want people to be praying for success? Absolutely. So you let somebody know about that. And there's a group praying about that every day. Now, every week, celebrate your successes. For instance, maybe you got a Bible study. Let's say Victor's got a Bible study, and he gets up and he says, man, I got a really good Bible study going on right before his Wednesday night class with John Smith, whoever. And be praying about it because we're doing lesson 3 tomorrow night. So talk up. I've got a friend that they don't even count the baptisms in the church where he is anymore. It's amazing. They took the board. People take that board down because it's depressing. They took it down because it was distracting. They don't even know how many. Their building is so full they pull out chairs. Baptizing people, they got members that are having Bible studies at the building every day. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, he said, what gets praised gets pushed. So praise evangelism in the church. The people that are doing what is most important every week. Talk about it, talk it up. Number 3, every month, have your Bible presentation Sunday. Give a Bible to every new convert. And so during that month, maybe you've had 3 or 10, whatever number. You call them up. Well, we've got, the church got you a Bible. It's inscribed. It's a nice Bible. And that way they feel like the church loves them, and that's absolutely true. And also everybody sees the face. They know the person. Every quarter, well, on the month or two. The second one is every month preach a sermon about evangelism. Now, that wouldn't be on the members, but the preacher, or have somebody in. We used to have what we called Church Growth Sundays. We'd bring someone in who would talk about evangelism. It was exciting. It was motivating. But every quarter, have an event on the church calendar that gives members an excuse to bring guests with them. Not just a regular Sunday. You can bring somebody any Sunday. That's great. But if you have an event, that gives you an added incentive, and people, and even more than us, it gives people an extra reason to come. For instance, if you have a family friend day, you say to your friend, "We got family day Sunday. Will you come and sit with me? I'm going to be embarrassed if I don't have any friend on friend day." Right? And your friend will feel so sorry for you, she'll hug your neck and say, "I'll come." You know? Well, that's fine. That's great. She'll hear the gospel. Have a grandparents' picture day with the grandkids. There are very few grandparents that can say no to a grandchild saying, "Grandma, would you go with me Sunday? We're having a meal and a picture day." Yeah. They'll hear the gospel preached. Gospel meetings fit. You can have different events. There's a lot of VBS, a lot of different things. Then the last one is, that's once a quarter. And then once a year, door knock your community. There are people within a stone's throw of many church buildings that don't even know the church is there. They drive by, but they don't notice the sign. They don't put a face with it. They don't think that they're invited to come. So door knock the community. You could do a different, if you got like here, you can't do the whole town every time, right? So pick a community and go there, and next year do another. Just rotate it until everybody within a radius of the building has been personally invited. At least we've been to their house with the gospel. All right. We've run out of time. We'll stop there, and we'll take a minute break or so, whatever Victor wants, and then we'll start.